show Lucy's Keeping today with highlights from a concert given at Durham Cathedral by the Tallis Scholars, the music by Gabrieli, and new pieces written for the Tallis Scholars. First, though, at 1 o'clock, a summary of the news read by David Cornett.
David Cameron has suggested that there could be a referendum on Britain's relationship with the European Union. But Downing Street has stressed that any vote would not be held at the moment. The Foreign Secretary, William Hague, has said the government would only consider holding a referendum after the impact of the Eurozone crisis became clearer, so that voters could have what he called a real choice. Labour say the Conservative Party's approach to Europe is shambolic. The Business Secretary, Vince Cable, has urged shareholders in British banks to get a stronger grip on weak boards and out-of-control executives. Mr. Cable has also criticised the governance of leading banks, saying it was lamentably weak. The Kenyan Red Cross says that 16 people have been killed in attacks on two churches. Shots were fired and grenades were thrown into the churches in Garissa, a town on a road to Somalia. There have been several attacks in Kenya since the country launched an offensive inside Somalia last year against the Islamist group Al-Shabaab. The main Syrian opposition group has said there are positive elements in a new plan calling for a transitional government in the country. But a spokesman for the Syrian National Council added that the plan, which was agreed at an international meeting in Geneva yesterday, was too vague. The communique, agreed by world foreign ministers, does not explicitly demand that President Assad stands down. Hong Kong has sworn in a new leader as it marks 15 years since its return to Chinese rule. Xi Liang has promised to defend civil liberties in the former British colony. Despite his assurances, though, thousands of people have been attending a protest calling for full democracy. European Union countries will no longer import Iranian oil and petroleum from today. The measure is designed to increase the pressure on Iran over its refusal to allow full inspections of its nuclear facilities. And the weather, it should generally be drier and brighter this afternoon. Showers are likely in central and eastern Scotland and across Wales. There'll be more rain for most parts of England and Wales tonight. BBC News and Weather at 1:02.
And it was read by David Cornett. Well, now on Radio 3, the early music show, introduced today by Lucy Skeeping.
Hello and welcome to the show, and highlights today from a concert given in Durham Cathedral at the beginning of June by those leading exponents of Renaissance vocal music, the Tallis Scholars. And there's a little bit of a twist, because alongside music from the late 15th and early 16th centuries, they're also performing a couple of newly composed works written specially for them by the two winners of the 2012 Radio 3 National Centre for Early Music Young Composers Award. But more about that later. Let's hear the Tallis Scholars in familiar territory first, in a motet by Andrea Gabrieli. He's been rather eclipsed these days by his famous nephew Giovanni. But in fact, it's Andrea who should really be called the true founder of the Venetian school. This is his Deus qui Beatum Marcum, written in honour of the cathedral's patron. O God, grant us that we may follow St. Mark's instruction and profit by his teaching.
Thank you.
Deus qui beatum Marcus by Andrea Gabrielli, a motet in honour of St Mark, performed by the Tallis Scholars. We'll hear more from Andrea Gabrielli in a moment, and later on, music by his nephew Giovanni, by the German composer Hassler, Taverner from England, and Palestrina, and not forgetting the two new works by the competition winners. Here's the Tallis Scholars founder director, Peter Phillips.
They now get to hear their pieces performed in a public concert by us in a splendid, splendid place, which is Durham Cathedral in this case. Durham is one of the most awe-inspiring places that I think I've ever stepped into. I mean, York Minster is equally grand, but this is older. It really is an unbelievable space. I mean, acoustically, it's like all very big buildings. It's not particularly helpful. It's a little bit singing out of doors, but that doesn't matter. I mean, we can get that together. And anyway, it's just looking at it. It's very, very inspiring.
It was in 1093 that building began on the cathedral, its west wall right on the edge of a steep gorge beside the River Weir. It took 40 years to complete, and much of the old Norman and Gothic style still survives, along with the restoration done in the 1660s, much needed after the Civil War, when Cromwell used the place to incarcerate some 3,000 Scottish prisoners. Today, though, its inmates are a lively bunch of choristers who will hear later in the Palestrina Magnificat that ends the programme. But now another piece by Andrea Gabrielli, his rather stately and contemplative Benedictus Dominus Deus. And it's followed by a motet by Giovanni Gabrielli in praise of the Virgin Mary.
Thank you.
The Tallis Scholars, directed by Peter Phillips, with two motets from Renaissance Venice, Giovanni Gabrieli's Sancta et Immaculata, and before that, Benedictus Dominus Deus by his uncle Andrea. Music like that for double choir has become so much associated with Venice and St Mark's that it's easy to forget that its longest flourishing and possibly even its invention was actually in Germany. In fact, the Gabrielis may well have been introduced to the style whilst they were working at the ducal court in Munich. Later, Giovanni Gabrieli in turn passed on this polychoral innovation to his German pupil, Hans Leo Hassler, whose music we're going to hear now. It's a rather anguished text, this. In my distress, I cried to the Lord. And it's movingly reflected in this five-part motet with an unusual use of chromaticism that was traditionally associated with ideas of death and lamentation. First, though, Hassler's Verbo Caro Factum. We saw the glory befitting the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Thank you.
two church motets by Renaissance German composer Hans Leo Hassler. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and highlights from a concert given in Durham Cathedral by the Tallis Scholars, directed by Peter Phillips. And so to the two modern works in their programme, the winning entries of this year's Young Composers Award. The early music world can sometimes be accused of sticking rigidly to, well, early music. But the old styles and textures offer a rich creative source, and Radio 3 and the National Centre for Early Music put out a call for young composers to write a new piece between 3 and 4 minutes long, specifically with the Tallis Scholars in mind. 7 finalists were selected and invited to York, where their entries were workshopped by the Ebor Singers under the director, Paul Gamerson. The two age categories, 18 and under and 19 to 25, were judged by the Tallis Scholars director, Peter Phillips, Delma Tomlin, the director of the National Centre for Early Music, and Chris Wines of Radio 3. And the prize for each of the two winners wasn't only to have their pieces performed by the Tallis Scholars at Durham Cathedral, but, of course, to have them broadcast on Radio 3. Most importantly, all the entries had to be based on one particular early music theme, as Peter Phillips explains.
The idea behind the composition competition this year was that the people who went into it would listen to our recording of the In Nomine section of Taverner's Mass, and to start their thinking from what they heard there. So it's a kind of the sound that that music gets out of the Tallis Scholars, and also the actual music, how it's composed. Now, of course, the various different entrants took a very different ways of adapting to it or using it as an inspiring start. We've got some very diverse pieces out of it, very moving pieces, and I think it was a good start. I think Taverner's World, it's very interesting for them.
Peter Phillips. And just to explain, the In Nomine that he talks about takes its name from the plain chant melody in a section of John Taverner's Mass, Gloria Tibi Trinitas. For the next 150 years, composers used it for inspiration, sometimes hiding it, as it were, deep within the texture, other times drawing the notes out so that a melody is almost unrecognisable. But before we hear what today's young composers have done with it, let's hear Taverner's original in the Benedictus section of the Mass.
Yeah.
The Talis Scholars with the Benedictus from John Taverner's Mass Gloria Tibi Trinitas, which features the In Nomine theme on which all the competition entries had to be based. So, on to the results. The winner of the younger category was Alex Wolfe, and from the 19 to 25s, Benjamin Roeth. What was it about these two that particularly impressed the judges?
Ben's piece, and indeed the other winner, Alex, they both managed to sustain a mood throughout the length of their pieces. You'd be surprised to learn that this is actually quite rare, and I take it, therefore, quite difficult. For 4 minutes, they have to produce a coherent piece of architecture, actually, sort of a mood architecture. And maybe the In Nomine helped them do that. Both these composers took the trouble to notice that the Talis Scholars sing with two soprano parts. I thought that showed attention to the kind of detail we wanted them to observe.
And we'll hear the first of those two works in a moment. But first, a word from its composer, Alex Wolfe.
I'm studying for my A-levels at Hills Road Sixth Form College in Cambridge at the minute, but I'm also this year a composer with the National Youth Orchestra, so I've been kind of up and down the country here, there and everywhere with that, getting immersed in all types of different music sort of to support what I'm doing at school. I got listening to as broad range of music as possible, so I got equally interested in the sort of the earliest music like the Talis Scholars kind of sing, or right up to contemporary modern sounds at the minute, and also the whole sort of pop rock world as well. It all kind of feeds into the same sort of melting pot in a way. I chose to set a Lux Aeterna because the text really seemed to speak to me in a similar way to the brief, actually, because it's obviously all about God sort of shedding light on people, and the poetry of that to me was similar to this old static world being sort of enriched with musical light, if you like. I, to be honest, didn't know much Taverner at all. I hadn't really encountered him or sort of many people working around the same time even. So I listened to that piece and I thought, instead of analysing every detail of that Cantus Firmus, I would then immediately write down the first kind of sketches and ideas that came to mind after just hearing it once. So it was completely fresh. My next step was to then think about how I could make this really true to the brief and still what I wanted to write. So what I really wanted to do is have the alto part leading this static sort of drone-like music and almost infect all the other parts with that world, whilst the other parts to counter that are sort of bringing more colour and life to the altos, if that makes sense. So you've got this juxtaposition between that very sort of static world and a much more rich sort of fruity landscape in the sounds.
Alex Wolfe, and here now is his work, Lux Aeterna, performed by the Talis Scholars.
Thank you.
Lux Aeterna by Alex Wolfe, the winning entry in the 18 and under category of the 2012 Radio 3 National Centre for Early Music Young Composers Award. The older category, the 19 to 25s, was won by Benjamin Roeth.
I'm Ben Roeth. I'm actually from Hexham, which is just on the other side of Newcastle, very close to Durham. So I haven't come that far to university, but I'm currently studying music. I'm in my second year and hoping to specialise maybe in composition. I do a lot of singing, actually. I sort of tend to fill up my time. I'm a bass and do a lot of singing with University College Chapel Choir, with the consort group in the cathedral, with the University Chamber Choir. I actually also do quite a lot of conducting. This past year founded Renaissance, which is a small chamber choir based in Durham and made up of alumni, staff and students. And we actually sort of hope to do a similar sort of repertoire to the Talis Scholars, which is why it was so amazing to win this competition, as they're sort of a group that I particularly idolise, but because I am so interested in Renaissance music and indeed contemporary music. I sort of took a very particular cell from this bit of Taverner that I found really beautiful, found really inspiring, and stuck that at the start of my piece and kept developing it through each phrase and kept developing each phrase in itself until the whole thing sort of from this cell broke out into the eventual composition. I mean, the other thing really was the way I linked it to the text a little bit. It's the Psalm 42 text, the common translation being "like as the heart," and the refrain that I've put, "Where is thy God," really linked to another very particular motif a bit later on in the Taverner, which is sort of really quite yearning, that I think used to create that particular mood throughout.
Benjamin Roeth, and we'll hear his winning piece now, "Where is thy God?" The Talis Scholars with Where Is Thy God by Benjamin Roeth. The second of the two winning entries in this year's Radio 3 National Centre for Early Music Young Composers Award. And congratulations to him and his fellow winner, Alex Wolfe. Well, for the rest of today's programme, three pieces from that giant of the Renaissance referred to these days simply as Palestrina. This is Laudate Pueri Dominum, Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Music by Palestrina, performed by the Talis Scholars. Laudate Pueri Dominum. Well, with the two new works we heard earlier, you could say their concert celebrated not only early music, but youth as well. And indeed, the average age of the performers dropped considerably for this final piece, because the Talis Scholars were joined by the young choristers of Durham Cathedral Choir. Organist James Lancelot is the brave knight whose job it is to direct them, and no doubt he occasionally has to keep them all in order as well. So how old is the singing tradition at Durham?
Well, it goes back centuries. It goes back to the beginning of this cathedral and then presumably the one before it, because the cathedrals were built as Benedictine monasteries and the monks would have sung plain song here every day. We know that there have been boy choristers since at least 1416, so we're heading for a big anniversary. And then one of the next really significant dates is 2009, when we introduced a team of girl choristers. And so we now have a team of girl choristers and a team of boy choristers all boarding at the chorister school on equal terms and singing equal numbers of the services. And it's interesting, I found starting a new team of choristers with the girls, I don't have to apologise for singing Bird or Palestrina with them. They really do take to it. They just love the vocal lines and the sounds and the shapes. The chapter library has one of the most important collections of early church music in the country. And it's a wonderful experience for young musicians to come and perform this music in one of the places for which it was written. And a few years ago, we had the good fortune to have the Early English Organ Project organs in residence. So we learnt a lot about performance practice simply by using them. And it was very moving sometimes to bring some of the most valuable music books from the chapter library into the cathedral for use in service. Well, they weren't actually used, but they were on show. And so there was a sort of spiritual homecoming.
James Lancelot, organist and master of the choristers at Durham Cathedral. So for our final piece today, we'll hear the Talis Scholars and the Durham Cathedral Choir in Palestrina's Magnificat for double choir. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Talis Scholars, directed by Peter Phillips, and the Durham Cathedral Choir with Palestrina's Magnificat for double choir. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for. But if you're a young composer or you know someone who is, make sure to listen out in the autumn for news of next year's Composers' Competition.
Lucy Skeeping there, and today's Early Music Show was produced in Salford by Chris Wines. And just to mention that from tomorrow morning, there's a download of the Early Music Show available. This week's edition is a slightly edited version of yesterday's Early Music Show, looking at the composer Michael Pretorius, famous for his dance anthology Terpsichore. But as the programme shows, there's a lot more to Michael Pretorius than that. Just go to the Radio 3 website and follow the links. Our Sunday concert in just a moment or two. First, though, a word from Donald MacLeod.
Making Composer of the Week, I'm lucky enough to meet some fascinating people, but never before have I walked into someone's kitchen to find a clay sculpture of the composer in question on the breadboard. But that's the kind of thing that can happen when you look into the life and career of the devil's violinist, Niccolò Paganini. Paganini as Composer of the Week. Weekdays this week at noon and at 6:30 in the evening.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 2:00. Time now for our Sunday concert, which was recorded in Wales a week ago yesterday. It's introduced by Nicola Hayward-Thomas.
Welcome to Swansea's concert venue, the Brangwyn Hall. For over 75 years, it's been a place of music making and is perhaps one of the closest concert halls to the sea. The great expanse of Swansea Bay is literally across the road from this building, the city's Guildhall. It was designed in the 1930s as a classical approach to modernism. And with its 48-metre-high clock tower, is still a real landmark. Inside, the venue's dominated by large-scale panels painted by Sir Frank Brangwyn and originally intended to brighten up the Royal Gallery in the Palace of Westminster. The panels have a real sense of fantasy, depicting an exotic and beautiful world inspired by the vast British Empire of the time. But they were considered too colourful and lively for display in Westminster, and so came here instead. Well, those paintings have fascinated generations of visitors and today still line the walls of the Brangwyn Hall, which welcomes the BBC National Orchestra of Wales through each season. Today's concert is the last time Thierry Fisher appears as principal conductor in Wales, and his programme reflects the journey we've been on together over the last 6 years. There is a distinctly Gallic flavour with works by Berlioz, Massenet and Ravel, but also classical masterpieces. The Argentinian Ingrid Fleeter is the soloist in Beethoven's first piano concerto. First, though, the overture to one of Mozart's last operas, La Clemenza di Tito. It was written for the festivities surrounding the coronation of Emperor Leopold II as King of Bohemia. The overture is ebullient with almost jaunty melodies at times, eminently suited to the celebrations of a coronation, and still a great curtain raiser. And here comes Thierry Fisher to conduct the BBC National Orchestra of Wales in the overture to La Clemenza di Tito by Mozart. Thierry Fischer conducted the BBC National Orchestra of Wales in the overture to Mozart's opera La Clemenza di Tito. You would never guess from that joyous and tuneful music that the narrative of the opera was so serious, dealing with the Roman Emperor Titus and his forgiveness to those who've plotted against him. The whole opera was written in just over a month. Apparently, Mozart was still finishing off some arias as he travelled by coach between Vienna and Prague. Well, Beethoven composed his piano concerto in C major in Vienna in 1795, just 4 years after that Mozart overture. It's known as his first, though that's misleading, as Beethoven had already composed at least four concertos before he left his native Bonn in 1792. One of those four went on to become number two in B-flat. The C major concerto was the first to be published, written rather quickly in 1795. There is some doubt about exactly when it was premiered. We know that Beethoven played a concerto in a concert in late March, billed as a brand new work, which suggests that it was the C major concerto. But it might have been the so-called second. Whatever the truth, we do know that he revised the work 5 years later and a whole new score was written out and published. Well, our soloist today is the young Argentinian pianist Ingrid Fleeter, making her debut with the orchestra here in Wales. She was a Radio 3 New Generation artist between 2007 and 2009. And earlier today, I asked her how she arrived here.
I was 18. I played for Marta Argerich in Argentina, and she gave me the advice to come to Germany to study with Vitaly Margulis. And she helped me to do that first step, which was really life-changing. I only stayed for some months there. I was too young, and I decided to come back home. And then destiny wanted me back in Europe. Some months later, I received an invitation from an Italian teacher to study there with a scholarship, and I got the opportunity to play for wonderful artists who came to this academy to give master classes. So I got many different influences and ideas, and I got a lot of inspiration from that.
Well, today you're playing for us the Beethoven C major concerto. How would you describe the mood of that work?
Oh, this is a fantastic concerto. It's a wonderful example of what Beethoven could build with humor, hope, energy. He